The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, April 7th. If you are watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We go live every single day at 1 p.m. throughout eternity. And this is the first day of the Masters. Tiger Woods is 1-under through 7. Hello, friends. Harry Higgs, Tiger Woods, gracing the top of that leaderboard. It's beautiful. Trapasso, Traps wearing his olive.
Closest thing I got.
Olive tree. Yeah. Absolutely. I love it. Anyway, if you're listening to the podcast, it's probably Friday, April 8th, second round of the Masters underway. You can ignore our Masters talk unless you're on the live stream and want to throw something into the chat. If you're joining us in the chat, make sure and smash that like button while you're here. We're going to do some draft needs running through the AFC South and NFC South. Boy, I'll tell you about that NFC South. They got needs out the wazoo, boys. Joining me to do so, Josh Edwards and Chris Trapasso. What's up, boys?
Not too much.
These are teams that have a ton of needs. Like, just going through this rundown from Debo, I was like, oh my God, like 7 of these 8 teams have catastrophic needs on their roster.
Yeah, this is the neediest of all these needs podcast. Like, desperate needs. And by the way, I don't know how the hell people with normal jobs function on Thursday and Friday of the Masters. Like, I can barely talk about football because I'm like, all I can do is I'm just staring at like Tiger Woods playing in the Masters and playing well. Like, I mean, when did he, I mean, not to minimize the car wreck, but like when, I mean, he had 2 broken legs like 8 months ago and he's just tied 3 at the Masters. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I was definitely watching the live stream like 5 minutes ago. Like, I was fully ready and I was like, oh, I got to get on this podcast now. When normally I'm super pumped to get on the podcast, not that I'm not today, but a little bit less so knowing that I'm missing watching Tiger live at Augusta.
Yeah, I've got it on to my left here. So I look over my shoulder from time to time. Tiger Woods has this bright pink shirt on that kind of reminds me of.
It's a horrendous shirt.
It reminds me of the Kentucky Derby jockey is what it reminds me of.
That's a good call. It's a mock neck too. It's a bright pink Nike, I mean, like bright pink Nike like short sleeve mock turtleneck. Like, what the hell is that? And only one man on earth could pull that off. Can you imagine if like Phil Mickelson wore that? Or like, what if like Harry Higgs was wearing that?
Is it going to progressively get closer to red as we get to Sunday? Is that how it's going to work?
Oh, I kind of like that idea. I mean, anyway, look, and by the way, like, this is. For those people watching on the YouTube, you go ahead and get used to Thursdays me looking like this, because that's my TV's right over here, and when there's golf on Thursdays, I'm staring it down. I got a Harry Higgs first round leader ticket too, so let's go low, big rig. All right, anyway, let's get to the NFL draft needs. C-Mart says in the chat, each of you looks like a pro golfer at the different stages of their career.
That's a good one. That's an all-time comment.
What are the I don't know if I want to go further down this road, but I'm just curious like what the various stages are. Feel free to put that back in the chat, C-Mart. Anyway. It's probably going to end up poorly for me. The Jaguars, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who spent $14 billion in free agency and yet are still loaded with draft needs. Josh, when you look at this team, what do they need? And they're picking first overall. Of course, they have an abundance of draft capital. What do they need and who are the best prospect fits? Feel free to focus maybe more on the second round, since, I mean, I don't know if we can possibly have any more discussion about Aiden Hutchinson versus Evan Neal versus Icky versus Trayvon Walker.
Yeah, so for this team, I look at the linebacker position, the edge rusher position. I look at defensive tackle. So pretty much anywhere in that front seven on defense. Offensive side of the ball, I think you just upgrade the offensive line as a whole, whether that's the right tackle position. You know, if you don't think Cam Robinson's going to sign long-term, then maybe left tackle's a need, get some interior line help. So the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball are probably where I'm looking if I'm Jacksonville. So since we've already discussed the options at number one overall pretty heavily, we did that on the odds podcast a couple of days ago. I'll look at some of the day two options, and I look at Georgia linebacker Quay Walker, who is an incredibly athletic player, great size for the position, plays sideline to sideline, just a guy that's going to be able to add a little bit more physical dimension to that defense. You cut Joe Schobert, you parted with Miles Jack, so there is an opportunity for Walker to step in immediately and be a starter from day one. I also look at Logan Hall, a defensive tackle from Houston that can play three technique, apply a little pressure on the quarterback, as you would hope. Possibly Aiden Hutchinson, whoever you take number one overall, as well as Josh Allen, are also capable of contributing to.
Yeah, I'll stay with those same positions. A few different players. How about Fedarian Mathis from Alabama? Might be a little early for him at the early stages of round two, but I really like his film. I think he's the Alabama defensive tackle that is not just a two-gapper. He's not just going to eat blocks. The pass rushing moves are there. Athleticism is there. And I like Chad Mumma, the linebacker from Wyoming. I feel like even more so than Quay Walker is a little bit more ready to just be that quarterback of the defense, play in the middle, cover linebacker or tight ends, running backs out of the backfield, very good against the run too. So those two positions make a lot of sense. And like I said at the beginning, like there's a ton of needs in this whole division, and anything the Jaguars do really in the second and third round, I don't think there's a position, I guess, outside of quarterback then they should shy away from. The cornerback spot, I think, is pretty deep and will be good value in the second round. Zion McCollum from Sam Houston State. Cam Taylor-Britt from Nebraska would make sense there. If the two Washington corners are still available, Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon, those would be good selections. I don't think there's really a spot on this Jags roster where they can say, hey, we're set there. We're not going to pick that position. Just go best player available all the way through this draft.
Yeah, I think that that point about, like, in the second round, if you're the Jaguars, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle it, and whether or not they do approach it, let's take the best player available, or whether, because I think there's a chance that after the, and we assume they'll go Aiden Hutchinson first round, although they certainly could go Trayvon Walker at one of the tackles still. Regardless of what they do, I sort of feel like there's a chance they might like feel like they could make a playoff run this year and try to fill spots of need rather than drafting the best players. Like, that would be very on brand, right? Mm-hmm. Josh, yeah. You were smiling and like nodding your head. Well, like, I fully expect these idiots to do that.
Well, it was a point that I was going to make, because I think when you look specifically at the group that we have here, self-awareness is incredibly important for some of these teams. I think when you look at Houston, who we're going to talk about shortly, they're very aware of where they are in a rebuild process, where you look at Jacksonville, who has signed everybody with a pulse this offseason, you know, is trying to speed things up and, you know, be a contender in the AFC South. So I think self-awareness is incredibly important. And I think based on Jacksonville's moves this offseason, they are not necessarily in a position where they feel they're going to draft based on best player available.
They are the Jacksonville Jaguars are wildly self-unaware. I don't know what they lack self-awareness. The Jacksonville Jaguars lack self-awareness. If you had any sense of self-awareness with Doug Peterson taking over this job, well, one, you would fire Trent Baalke, like when you fired Urban Meyer. Two, you would say, all right, this is a situation where we are just not, like, we've been good for one year in the past, like, 20 years. So we are going to slowly build up. We are not going to spend a ton of money in free agency, et cetera, et cetera. But again, they lack self-awareness. So that won't be happening. Next team up, the Houston Texans. Two first round picks. They're picking 3 and 13 in the first round. Traps, when you look at this team, what do they need? There's a lot of needs, but what are their biggest needs, and who could they target with those two first round picks, and then maybe as well in the second round?
similar team to the Jaguars, in my opinion. There's really not a spot that I would be surprised or complain about them going with, especially with those first two round picks. The general consensus is that they should go edge rusher. Like they should go Trayvon Walker, Kayvon Thibodeau. Jonathan Grenard played well last season, and he was someone coming out of Florida a few years ago that I liked a lot. Has the athleticism to be a good outside pass rusher. Just feels like, because Thibodeau and Walker and Hutchinson have kind of been elevated toward the top of this kind of weaker draft, that that's the direction they'll go in at three. If they went Ahmad Gardner, I wouldn't hate that. If they went Kyle Hamilton at 3 or 13, I think that would be, you know, smart for them. Cornerback is definitely a need. If they trade Brandon Cooks, then wide receiver, even with Nico Collins there, certainly becomes a pretty big need for Davis Mills. And then along the offensive line, that they have Laremy Tunsil. They said they're not going to trade him. But if someone like Charles Cross falls to 13, I think they would be foolish to not select them, because that's such a valuable position. So another AFC South team, certainly rebuilding. It doesn't feel like they'll go quarterback, that they'll just give Davis Mills this year to maybe show that he can be a decent starter. I don't think they have a long-term view with him. So they'll probably shy away from this quarterback class and kind of circle back on it next year. But they just have to build out this roster with, again, another team that might be a little more self-aware than the Jaguars, but really the smartest thing for them to do is just build their big board without looking at positions, and just go best player available at 3, at 13, and what they do with all those second round and third round picks.
Yeah. So Traps, I'll put you on the spot for a second, because I was asked this in an interview recently and I was not prepared for it. And it was simply, who is a team in the first round that maybe gives you difficulty doing a mock draft? Who is the most difficult to predict in the first round? Because when I came to my answer, it was a little different than maybe what most people would have expected.
I think the Texans would be up there. Lions at 2. I have no idea what direction they're going to go in, especially because offensive tackle would make a lot of sense for them, but I doubt they go offensive tackle in back-to-back drafts. But the Texans with those two picks, it's like the Jets and the Giants, we kind of know what they want to do, and it aligns with the strength of this class. The Texans, with just how strangely run that organization is, I have no clue what they're going to do. And again, they have so many needs. It will be hard for the Texans to come out of this first round looking really bad, because I think at 3 and 13, to have two picks in the top 15 and so many needs, unless they just go with a complete off the radar prospect with one of those two selections, they will technically be filling needs because the roster is still so bad.
Yeah, the Texans were my pick because they could go in any number of directions. I mean, you already laid out the options. They could conceivably go Derek Stingley. They could go Kyle Hamilton. They could go Sauce Gardner. They could go Jermaine Johnson, Jordan Davis, one of those wide receivers. I mean, there's endless options. And then what they do there is going to impact the rest of this first round. So they have been one of the more interesting teams to me. But this jumps out as a team that is more self-aware than some of the other teams that we have discussed. And for that reason, I think you kind of have to lean on best player available, who they're going to take in the first round. I mean, you might be able to look at what New England has historically, you know, appreciated in the past, and maybe that'll inform your decision on what Houston may do in the first round. But I think they have a number of needs and could go in a number of directions.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Texans stink. Like, they're one of the worst rosters in football. I mean, there is no – and they just traded Deshaun Watson. They are loaded with draft capital. There is no reason for them to do anything. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't like the Texans. I mean, I like the Texans. I like the Texans. I don't really like the front office for the Texans. I can go either way on Nick Caserio right now. Like, he's still TBD. Jack Easterby, obviously, like – a serial killer masquerading as a priest, masquerading as a, you know, like vice president of football operations, who just happens to like trick billionaires into giving him positions of power, even though he has no football training. At any rate, you know, like Lovie Smith, whatever, you know, my point being is that at least I might not like the Texans, but at least they're self-aware. They traded Deshaun Watson. They didn't play Deshaun Watson. They got 3 first-round picks for him. They know they stink. They know they kind of like Davis Mills. They want to give him a shot. And I think they're just going to get, they're like, this is a perfect draft to be the Texans. There's good players who you can add to your roster to eventually get yourself in a position where maybe you could be a contender if you hit on that quarterback position. And I don't think they'll panic and try to draft another guy this year. Like, I don't like give Davis Mills a year. If he flashes and he might be the guy, and all of a sudden you've added a ton of talent around him. So a credit to the Texans for not trying to force the issue, I guess. And I think that's important because we just talked about it with the Jaguars. The Tennessee Titans picking 26th in the first round. They are such a it's just a fascinating dichotomy here with this division because you have like the Titans and the Colts who are like flawed contenders and then just stink bombs in the Jaguars and the Texans. Josh, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, what stands out to you as like highlighted needs and players they could target there at the back end of the first round?
This is a team that knows if they hit their moves correctly, they're probably going to win the AFC South. I mean, they're certainly going to be in contention right there with Indianapolis. You look at this team, what they need, linebacker, offensive tackle, offensive guard, cornerback. You know, maybe they need some tight end help after Jonnu Smith left. You've got Anthony Firkser that, you know, stepped up into a larger role. But maybe you want to get a little more dynamic ability in that type of role moving forward. So some of the options I actually like in the first round for this team, Georgia linebacker N'Kobe Dean. I think he is a guy that would just endear himself to Mike Vrabel. I think they, you know, had some similarities to each other in terms of playing style. He's an incredibly hard-nosed player, a guy that's going to do the dirty work for that defense, you know, free up Bud Dupree, free up Harold Landry to make some plays in the backfield. I think he makes a lot of sense. And then Zion Johnson, an offensive guard from Boston College, I think when you're looking to fill out that offensive line, he's the guy that makes a lot of sense in the first round at number 26.
Yeah, it feels like linebacker is a very pressing need to go with some offensive tackles to man that right tackle spot. Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan feels like he's going to be there. After that Eagles-Saints trade, there's a lot of thought that Trevor Penning, the tackle from Northern Iowa, is already going to be gone. Just to be a team that still wants to ride out Derrick Henry, you know, especially after last season that he didn't get 400 carries because he was injured, that he technically could and should be relatively fresh. I wouldn't hate wide receiver either, even though you have AJ Brown, just to give Ryan Tannehill more, you know, targets around him to kind of prop him up a little bit. So if someone like Chris Olave was available, even maybe some of the bigger body types, because they have, you know, invested in AJ Brown, they're probably going to give him a big deal. They signed Julio Jones last offseason. If Treylon Burks is there, I wouldn't hate that either. But it feels like with Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, they'll probably offensive line, linebacker, go in that direction. But there's not as many needs for this team. I mean, this was the number one overall seed in the AFC last offseason. But for it being a playoff team, they don't feel like they've done enough this offseason to keep up with the rest of the AFC.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you can say about the Titans is that you look at this team and this roster and where they are, and you sort of have to wonder if there's a window here. You know, like I mean, like the Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry combo can't go on in perpetuity. Like, there's at most 3 more years left for that duo. How long can Derrick Henry play with his style at the level that he's played at? I mean, we saw it last year. Like, the dude had 400 or 375 carries in 2020. And then, I mean, I remember going on Bill Barnwell's podcast and we were talking about, Henry was going off and we were just making fun of ourselves because we were expecting a decline. And we're like, you know what? Maybe the rules just don't apply to this guy. And then immediately he gets hurt. And so, like, we looked like idiots 7 times in a row. Point being is that, like, I just don't know that this is necessary. Like, I don't know what you do if you're the Titans, because I sort of think you need to be a little aggressive and try to push in a little bit because you think this window might be closing. And I'll be curious to see how that applies to their draft strategy, because in recent years they have really tended to take gambles on guys who were injured. Now, mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons worked out incredibly well and he was a beast from day one. Caleb Farley, yeah, different positions and different injuries. So we'll see. But I'd be curious to see how that factors into their approach in this draft. The Indianapolis Colts no first round picks. Because you used your first round pick on Carson Wentz. I don't know if Debo's painted. Oh, here he is. Debo.
I got nothing.
it's like a message popped up. It was like, Eric is in the stream with audio.
No, yeah, just good timing that I finally started listening to you guys.
Okay, yeah, I thought, I was like, oh boy, here he comes. Yeah, anyway, no first round picks. But Traps, when you look at this team, what needs to, by the way, C-Mart actually put this in the chat too. Josh is just getting started as a golfer. Traps is at the top of his game. Brinson has lost it, but nobody's managed to stop him turning up yet.
That's perfect.
If it's any consolation, I certainly play like I just got started.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I certainly play like I've lost it. Anyway, Traps, when you look at the Colts, obviously going to be picking not in the first round, although they do have several later picks thanks to trading Carson Wentz. What do you see as needs for this team, and how do you see them addressing them, particularly in day two?
Yeah, now that they have Matt Ryan, I think they got to go wide receiver. That they've just done this patchwork veteran route the last three quarterbacks now. Phillip Rivers, Will, your guy, was pretty successful. Got to the playoffs with him. We're close in that game against the Bills two playoff ago. That I think Michael Pittman's good. I don't know if he's a legitimate number one. There are people out there on Twitter that absolutely love Michael Pittman and feel like he's going to be a superstar. I don't think he's there yet. So whatever wide receivers were available, Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama, bigger body type, down the field, great in contested catch situations. George Pickens from Georgia could be good value there because he's coming off that torn ACL last March. I think that's probably the biggest need. And then on defense, you have stars up front in your front seven in Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner. Kwity Paye had a pretty good rookie season, not outstanding. I would like to see them get more playmakers in their secondary. Kenny Moore has been kind of this diamond in the rough, underrated cornerback. But at the safety position, the other cornerback spot, maybe another edge rusher, I wouldn't hate them going receiver and then trying to add more playmakers in the secondary. The division is weak, but I think at this point, the Colts certainly want to get back to the playoffs after that abomination in week, 18 against the Jaguars. But it's a team that if they're looking at this point, Chris Ballard in his fourth or fifth season as GM, they have to have higher sights than just winning the kind of crappy AFC South. And to do that, you have to stop the pass and just become more dynamic through the air. You have the quarterback now to do it. They need more weapons, though, outside of Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I mean, they made a player swap for Unique Ngakoue for Rocky Sin. So, I mean, they kind of created a bigger hole at the cornerback position. I think that is a big need for them this offseason. So when you're talking about day two possible fits, I'm looking at Sam Houston State's Zion McCollum is a possible option. He's an incredibly long cornerback. And some teams may not even draft him based on that alone. I mean, there's certain guardrails where if you're going to be above a certain height, you're probably not going to be able to sink your hips and get, you know, into transition across the field that teams need you to do. So maybe it's going to be a team or a zone specific team that would be more interested in a Zion McCollum. And then I also look at Auburn's Roger McCreary, who we've had on the Pick Six podcast before. I mean, he's just a very savvy
friend
of the pod, Roger McCreary. He's just a very savvy prospect, a guy that gets it done at the game's highest level. I mean, he's played in the SEC. He's been challenged and he's overcome. I mean, he's just a very gifted player. You can knock him for his arm length if you want to, but you can't knock the production. I mean, he's a guy that comes out on top every matchup he's going against.
Yeah. Look, this division is fascinating as much as it is like stupid, just because the Colts are on their like fifth straight, you know, 1 year quarterback. And like, maybe Matt Ryan is a bridge to finding somebody else. But then you also have the issue of like, if this team doesn't make the playoffs or isn't competitive or gags of the Jaguars in week 18 again, Jim Irsay might just go nuts and fire everybody. Like, he feels like this is such an important year. And Matt Ryan was such an important acquisition. Even if you don't like Matt Ryan or think that he'll be good this year, like just the optics of getting a stable quarterback in to replace Carson Wentz was massive for this team. And so the, you know, the draft, I think Chris Ballard's been really good about getting day two picks. And I actually am a Pittman fan, but I agree with the Traps. I think they need to upgrade that wide receiver core and give Matt Ryan some weapons in order to be as successful as they possibly can. All right, let's take a break. And well, while we're breaking, we'll pray that Tiger Woods' back isn't flaring up because he grabbed it. And he says he's spraying a tee shot into the pine straw. And when we come back, we will debate what stupid quarterback the stupid Panthers will use the stupid number six pick on next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So the Carolina Panthers are picking six in the first round. I've seen some people, notably Josh Norris, friend of the pod, the most of Underdog Fantasy, the most accurate mock drafter, I believe, in the history of mock drafts last year, like the single most accurate mock draft ever done, like a 59 score on Huddle Report. Josh was like slamming champagne in on a live stream to celebrate it. an all-around great dude. He's the only person I've seen, and he knows the Panthers very well. Although I'm not sure, you know, just like myself, I'm not sure how tied into this current regime he is versus the previous one. But, or the previous two, I suppose. The Panthers are picking six. He actually had him take an offensive lineman instead of a quarterback. That would probably be the prudent thing to do, Josh. But you know what? The Panthers don't seem like a prudent team to me, and I would expect that they're going to take a quarterback at six overall, which is definitely a need and probably their top need, even if it doesn't fit with the draft class and sort of like where the prospects are.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that's where the quarterback run could begin, unless a team is going to trade up to number five or earlier to get one of these quarterbacks. Just outwardly, I think Carolina needs to be more self-aware about where they are in the process and draft an offensive lineman, should there be a quality prospect available, of course. But it does feel like they're going to take a quarterback, you know, and then the two options are Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh and Malik Willis from Liberty. And we've had this discussion as well. You know, are there going to be differing opinions inside that Carolina war room on draft night? Because you have Scott Fitterer, the general manager who comes from Seattle, has been around Russell Wilson for most of his career. So, you know, maybe he values a more mobile quarterback that's, you know, going to be able to launch it downfield. Whereas Matt Rhule has shown that he values relationships, and he held a commitment from Kenny Pickett when he was at Temple before he went to Baylor. And then, of course, ownership, David Tepper, is a huge donor of the Pittsburgh program. So there's a lot of connections, a lot of relationships there that maybe lend you to believe that it's going to be Kenny Pickett, but then maybe the general manager wants it to be Malik Willis. So I think they're going to be one of the more interesting teams in this draft class, because if they're going to do what we all assume they do and take a quarterback, then it's going to bring on this discussion of, was it a unanimous decision, or is there going to be some discourse that we monitor this upcoming season? So I think those are probably the two options that the Panthers are struggling with right now in the draft process.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are in such a bad spot. Like, regardless of what they do, it's going to look bad from a different angle. That what Josh has outlined, if it's Malik Willis, there'll be talk like, hey, why would they pick someone that's not really ready? They need to win now. Matt Rhule's on the hot seat. And then, like you mentioned, maybe the ownership and the coach didn't really want Malik Willis. If they go Kenny Pickett at six, I think everyone, even the people that really like Kenny Pickett, will think, hey, this is too early. They just did it because of the Pittsburgh connection and the Temple connection. This is a reach. This is Daniel Jones 2.0 going at the same selection as Daniel Jones. And then if they go offensive tackle, which I do think one of Charles Cross, Ike Ekwonu, or Evan Neal will be available, it'll be like, how did they not pick a quarterback? They can't roll out Sam Darnold or PJ Walker in week one. So Matt Rhule's kind of done it to himself, but I really don't see a scenario in which, with that number six overall selection, the Panthers come out of it looking good. I mean, of course, if one of the quarterbacks becomes good, then I think we won't ever really talk about this anymore. But on draft night, like afterward and the next day, there's just going to be criticism on whatever the Panthers do if they go quarterback or they go offensive tackle. Their two biggest needs.
Chili Pepper, Joachim Neiman just hold out. That's what happened, if you're wondering.
Yeah, everybody just saw live.
It's an eagle, right? Not an albatross, I think, right? It was a par four.
I didn't see what happened before that. I just realized that you were like 5 seconds ahead of me on the screen because I saw your expression. I was like, oh, something good's about to happen. And I look over just in time to see it. So, yeah, that was
it was an eagle hole out on nine. So it's pretty cool coming up to the clubhouse on nine. I don't care. Whatever. It's a Masters week. We're talking about the Masters here. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Josh. With the screw the, you know what? We should just cancel the Panthers. The Panthers are the least, like, they're just obviously going to do something stupid at six. There's no way in hell. And the worst part is there's going to be one of those offensive linemen there. Like, Icky or Neal are going to be sitting there at six. The most prudent franchise building thing you could possibly do if you're the Panthers is to draft a left tackle and dive into the crevasse with Sam Darnold. Go deeper into the darkness. Dive further. Submerge yourself into the pain that would be 2022 with Sam Darnold and a rookie left tackle. And you'll come out with the first overall pick, and you can draft, Bryce Young, Devin Leary, CJ Stroud, whoever you want to draft. But the problem is, if you take Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, you know what? There's a pretty good chance you're going to have the number one overall pick anyway. And then you're not going to be able to take one of those guys. So Panthers, please, I beg of you, don't draft a quarterback at six. Narrator, Josh, they drafted a quarterback at six.
Is their next pick at 137 too? Is that correct? I know they don't have a second. So yeah, I don't think they have a third either. Do they? Did they trade out of that as well?
Probably. They're terrible. I would not want to be a Panthers fan at this current moment in time. Anything else to add? I don't care. Let's move on for them. I almost just start talking about golf instead of talking about the Panthers. The Falcons picking eighth overall in the first round. Obviously, as we talked about with the Matt Ryan situation, they don't have a quarterback, at least a long-term quarterback. They do have Marcus Mariota. I did start with Josh and the Panthers, right? Sort of lost track of everything when Neiman held out. Traps, when you look at the Falcons, what I have a lot of Joachim Neiman in my life. Like him holding out is a very good thing for me. Traps, when you look at the Falcons, what do you see as their biggest needs? And they're not dissimilar from the Panthers either, by the way. Taking a quarterback at eight with their roster would be kind of the same thing as the Panthers taking a quarterback at six in this draft versus adding more players and being prepared to sort of survey the landscape for the future when it comes to quarterbacks. What do you think they'll do at eight? What do you think they'll do in the second round? And what are their biggest needs and who could they target?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of similar to the Panthers. I kind of view them as like a similar team to the Houston Texans where they have a quarterback that might be decent. I know obviously Marcus Mariota is a lot older than Davis Mills, but he's going to be the starter this season. I wouldn't hate a quarterback as much for Atlanta at number eight. Just pick Malik Willis, let him sit behind Marcus Mariota, even if it is only for like half the season or 10 games or 12 games. Then you let him kind of learn the ropes later in the season. They have needs on the offensive line, even though they re-signed Jake Matthews. The defense is A.J. Terrell and Grady Jarrett. It's hard, even as a draft guy, to name some of the guys on their defense. So it should really be best player available, but it feels like Terry Fontenot last year had the opportunity to pick Trey Lance, I guess, before that trade went down, and then just said, I'm going to go with a tight end at, you know, inside the top five. So it feels like his second draft, it would be smart for him to maybe prioritize the most important position on the field after trading Matt Ryan. So that's kind of the direction that I have them going. Edge rusher is a huge need in round two. Boye Mafe, Arnold Ebiketie from Penn State, either one of those two would make a lot of sense. They really have not had a good pass rusher in a really, really long time. They got the one season from Vic Beasley, but it's really been a barren position for them. That's obviously a very important position. The safety spot would make a lot of sense. If they went Kyle Hamilton, it would feel kind of like, oh, you picked a safety at number eight, but that would technically be a little bit of a fall for the Notre Dame safety. So I've really leaned toward a quarterback to just say, hey, we're picking Malik Willis, but we signed Marcus Mariota, who has a relationship with our head coach, Arthur Smith. Mariota's going to be the starter this season. Let's just give Malik Willis that redshirt season that I think a lot of people believe that he ultimately needs.
That's a possibility. And, you know, I've said this a number of times. I wish they would have taken a quarterback a year ago.
Yeah, me too.
Justin you know, Fields. But in the current situation, you know, maybe just ride out the upcoming season and then try to get one of these quarterbacks next year. I think that's an option for them as well. When you look at the roster, it's easy to say, oh, this team needs a wide receiver. You know, they have very little on the roster at that position. So they've got to be desperate for a wide receiver. But as we talked about earlier in the podcast, you have to have a little bit of self-awareness. It's not a wide receiver that is going to be the difference between you being a playoff contender and just, you know, having a top five pick next year. That's not the reality. So I think what this team needs to do is just see how things play out, take the best prospect available, whoever that ends up being, and move on, go on to your next pick. I think that's probably the best strategy for this team right now because they have so many needs. At the same time, if you are going to pigeonhole yourself into a wide receiver, then I look at Garrett Wilson from Ohio State as a guy that could be an option because they lost Calvin Ridley. You need a guy that's going to be able to make some plays after the catch. That's what Arthur Smith had with A.J. Brown in Tennessee. So, you know, there's some natural fit there. You've already got a bigger body guy in Kyle Pitts. You know, and then as you get into day two, maybe you've got a Jahan Dotson from Penn State that's on the board. Maybe you've got Sky Moore from Western Michigan, who is about as good as any prospect in this class into his breaks. I mean, he's just an incredibly gifted player in the way that he's able to snap off his routes. And then Leo Chenal, a linebacker from Wisconsin, could be a guy that is, you know, going to give them a little bit of attitude in the middle of their defense and give them, you know, start building a little bit of culture on that side of the ball. So a team with a lot of needs, I think you just have to do the smart thing and take the best player available.
Yeah, it is weird too how like the Falcons and the Panthers are basically the same team. You know, I mean, the Panthers are a little more dysfunctional in how they've operated and Arthur Blank. And like, I want to be clear. Like I think the Falcons are operating much more rationally than the Panthers are, but both were, you know, both in the NFC South, both chased Deshaun Watson this whole season, both came up short, you know, both have major deficiencies on the roster and both are now searching for a quarterback. It just feels like they're two picks apart, right? But it feels like it's like the Falcons, they're not going to take a quarterback. That'd be stupid. Why would you take a quarterback at eight? That would be absolutely. And they could take Malik Willis, by the way. And it wouldn't be outrageous if they took Malik Willis at eight and were like, all right, he's going to sit for a year. You know, he's going to learn under Arthur Smith. But it just feels like the Falcons are primed to do something intelligent at eight, whereas the Panthers are primed to do something unintelligent at six. I mean, doesn't it just feel that way?
Yeah, to me, the biggest red flag was Matt Rhule's first draft. He selected all defensive players and picked a nose tackle inside the top 10. I know everyone loved Derrick Brown. I wasn't as high on him, and I was like, this guy, if you pick him in the late first, okay, but a nose tackle in the year 2020, like inside the top 10. And I know Derrick Brown's been like good.
He's been great. He's been great.
But the positional value just isn't there. So when he went all defense, and he got Jeremy Chinn in that draft class, so that was, I guess, a good pick in round two. But it was just kind of like, man, to go all defense when the league is moving toward, you know,
look, to be clear, their defense is not terrible. It's not, like, it looks like it could be a good defense, but it ain't gonna matter if you're running out Sam Darnold,
exactly,
and you know, whatever else they got on offense. The New Orleans Saints, we just did that bizarre swap. Did we talk about the, was it y'all?
Oh, we talked about it, yes.
Yeah, it was y'all, right? We talked about it for 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You guys are doing too many podcasts. You need to ask for a pay raise. Narrator, you did. No pay raises were given. The Saints are picking twice in the first round, 16 and 19. Josh, when you look at this team, what are their primary needs? Where could they go in this first round with these two first picks? And will they be sniping the Chargers with a left tackle pick at 16?
So Jason Lockenfor wrote an article about what New Orleans was trying to accomplish with this pick. And it's ultimately the same theory that I've kind of come to at this point, which is the Saints are looking around the NFC saying, you know, we can contend this year. We can make it to the playoffs. How far you're going to make it in the playoffs is an entirely different conversation. I wouldn't mortgage my future for, you know, a first round out. But if they think they've got a chance to contend, then by all means, put your chips in. But I look at this roster, you know, you need a lot. You need an offensive tackle. You need wide receiver help. You need safety. You need, you know, depending on how you feel about Paulson Adebo from a year ago, maybe you need a cornerback. So there's some needs on this team. If you're in the first round, maybe they look for one of those left tackles, whether that's Mississippi State's Charles Cross, maybe it's Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. You know, or maybe you go wide receiver, where we have discussed the options at length. There's Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams. They're going to be in a prime position to get one of those players at least in the first round. So if you can walk away with your franchise left tackle and a wide receiver from this draft class, then I can look at this roster and say they have done an adequate job to essentially fill every position on their roster with a competent football player. Now it's up to Jameis Winston to stay healthy and, you know, give them some consistency. If he's able to do that, then it's a team that, you know, certainly has a strong chance to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, what I've said this whole offseason with the Saints is, like, I feel they're closer to a club that should be rebuilding as opposed to a team that can push to the NFC playoffs. But then a flurry of transactions happened. A lot of star power left the NFC to the AFC. And I feel like at this point, Mickey Loomis, and is Jeff Ireland still there? I think he is.
Yes, I would suggest that at this point with Sean Payton gone, that Jeff Ireland is essentially the de facto general manager who is making the draft selections.
Which is weird, because back in the day with the Dolphins, he was like one of the worst GMs in the league, and he's actually been pretty decent.
He showed up in 2017, and the combo of him and Sean Payton helped flip this franchise around with that 2017 draft.
That's like one of the best draft classes in the last like 30 years, if not ever, when you look at all the value they got. I feel like they're looking at DeMario Davis, who's 33, Cam Jordan turning 33 this summer. Marshawn Lattimore's not older, but he's a veteran cornerback now. They just lost Malcolm Jenkins to retirement, that they're kind of like, hey, if there's one more last gasp effort, even without Drew Brees, to make the playoffs, maybe we get a couple bounces our way, we could win a game or two in the playoffs, it's this year. Because after this season, to probably be either losing Cam Jordan or DeMario Davis or both of them, or just not seeing them play at a high level, that's why they traded up and are probably going to address those needs that Josh outlined really well. I think left tackle, wide receiver make the most sense. And I think Jameis Winston stays healthy. I mean, that was a pretty good team. What, they were 5-1 or 5-2 before Jameis Winston got injured last season. So yeah, they could go, 10-7 or 9-8 and make the NFC playoffs this season.
Yeah, I mean,
like, the defense is still okay. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, no, the defense is still pretty good. I mean, they definitely lost some pieces. It's just like, I sort of feel like everyone's treating the Saints as if Sean Payton didn't leave.
Yeah, true.
And it's like Sean Payton did leave. And so maybe Pete Carmichael is fine calling the plays. And maybe Dennis Allen is a great head coach, and it was just a Raiders thing. I think that's possible. Just like I think Todd Bowles could be a really good head coach in his second tenure with the Bucs. I don't think that drop off is huge there. But the difference between Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles, to me, Sean Payton was the Saint. Sean Payton was the Saints. You know, he called all their plays. He designed everything. I just feel like that's being slept on a little bit.
Yeah, and Joe Lombardi left the year before that. I mean, there wasn't even a natural transition to the next man up on offense because it had been kind of blown up the year earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, Tiger muttered a F-word on the broadcast, and it's a very big deal.
Not shocking.
Just FYI, go check that out when we're done recording, which will be done shortly. Dude was like, if this guy mentions the Masters one more time. Oh, by the way, subscribe to the First Cut Pod with Rick Gaiman, Kyle Porter, and crew. They do a great job. They recap every single round the evening after, part of the CBS Sports podcast family. So make sure you find that wherever you get this podcast. It is a delight to listen to. Mentioned Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. Hey, conveniently, the Buccaneers are next. They're picking 27th in the first round. Traps, when you look at this team, I mean, clearly a Super Bowl contender with Tom Brady's return, regardless of who's coaching. And in this crappy division, it's really hard to imagine anyone else winning this division. How do you see them approaching the first round and really the draft as a whole? And what are their biggest needs and who could they target?
Just offensive and defensive lines. I mean, even after trading for Shaq Mason, which I think was a great trade for the Buccaneers, and it feels like that was maybe a move that when Tom Brady came back, he said, hey, I'm unretiring and you guys are trading for Shaq Mason. They still lost another guard with Ali Marpet retiring and Alex Kappa signing with the Bengals. So if Zion Johnson is there, I think that would be a home run. It kind of feels like that's what's going to happen. Like when Tristan Wirfs fell to them and they traded up one selection to get him in that 2020 draft class, it was like, man, that's the perfect fit for them, the exact need that they had at the right tackle position. If they went Shaq Mason and Zion Johnson at their two guard spots after being really strong at that position for the longest time, that would be a huge boon for that organization going into, you know, year three with Tom Brady. And then on the defensive lines, like they've had Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, they bring back William Golston, but a lot of older pieces up front to have Shaq Barrett. They picked Joe Tryon, Shoyinka last year, but I think someone like Devontae Wyatt, I don't feel like Jordan Davis will ultimately be there. A few of the names that I mentioned earlier for Darian Mathis, Matthew Butler from Tennessee along the defensive line. It just feels like those first couple selections, because they have the skill position talent, they have the safeties, they have the corners, the linebackers are still there. Maybe they could look in the direction of, hey, what are we going to do after Lavonte David retires? They could maybe third or fourth round add some depth at the linebacker spot. But it just feels like a team that just has to get a little better and younger up front, especially on the defensive line, and then maybe fill that other starting guard spot.
I don't know how they've done what they have done this offseason. I mean, to retain the core that they have been able to retain, Carlton Davis, get Ryan Jensen back, you know, Tom Brady obviously returning. I think it's been incredible what they've been able to do. And then you get Russell Gage in free agency. I mean, that is one of the best wide receiver rooms in all of football. You know, but offensive guard is an obvious need for this team, and Traps laid it out perfectly. It just feels like Zion Johnson is going to fall to them later in the first round and, you know, fill out that offensive line from left to right. You've got Donovan Smith. In this scenario, you would have Zion Johnson. You've got Ryan Jensen. You've got Shaq Mason, and you've got Tristan Wirfs. I mean, that's one of the best offensive lines in football after you lose Alex Kappa and Ali Marpet. So how they've been able to rebound has been, you know, truly remarkable. But Traps mentioned Fedarian Mathis in the second round. That's a guy that I had written down. I've also got Kate Otten, a tight end from Washington that could be a need in the third round. Because to this point, Rob Gronkowski has not made his decision on whether he is going to return or not. We would probably all agree that he is going to return at some point, but as of now, he has not. So the tight end position, yeah, exactly. The tight end position has been very important to this offense. And I think if you add Kate Otten to that group, then you're just going to add a little bit more depth to the tight end position.
That's a good point. I'd be kind of surprised if Gronk didn't run it back with his buddy Tom. But I also am not surprised that he's taking his sweet, sweet time to let everybody know. If I was a veteran NFL player, I am 100% like waiting as long as humanly possible to make a decision. Like if I'm retired or like I'm a free agent, I'm like, look, you know, I'm not coming to training camp. You can sign me. You can sign me in August. Okay. Like I'll see you in August. I don't need any reps with old 12 there. I think we're good on that one. All right. Great stuff. NFC South, AFC South. Lot of meat on the bone. And we, oh my God, we did so quick. Maybe Debo wants the Masters on all the time when I'm it's like 15% reduction in excessive talking when there's golf on because you want to get out there and watch it. Let's enjoy the weekend. It's beautiful outside. There's golf on TV. Hello, friends. Traps, Josh, as always, great stuff. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hit like, hit subscribe, rate, review, whatever you got to do. For Josh and for Traps, I'm Brinton. We will see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.